Hello, Earthlings, and welcome to Killer Kittens from Mars, third podcast. Today we're talking about streamlining of RPGs, the good, the bad, the ugly. With me today is William Dragon.
Hello.
And Mason Nielsen.
And I am a fan of manic, depressive, alcoholic midgets.
What?
And as always,
for layman's terms.
So let's start off with what streamlining is.
All right, so streamlining in the RPG sense, more so than anything else, is paring down of options players have in order to make the game more accessible, occasionally more playable in case of some of the really old games. You know, I mean, if you compare Daggerfall to Morrowind, per se, you had a lot more options in Daggerfall, but you couldn't exactly use them.
I pretty much agree with his thing. But occasionally it's to the detriment of the game because...
Well, you know, no one goes into a game thinking they're going to make a bad game.
Yeah, that's
it just turns out that way.
So how does it affect games?
You're
going to mention that every
They went in for it. They were like, we're going to make this...
Well, I think that should become a recurring theme, so there we go.
So, like, Dragon Age 2 compared to Mass Effect 2. What problems did you have with Dragon Age 2?
One of my big problems, I've always been more of a technical player. I always liked the technical aspects, and they really, like, they drew out a lot of the stuff that made it good.
The
like,
strategy. They took out
they
a lot of the strategy for, like, let's do hack and slash.
Like, honestly, you can just walk through. You can get through the whole game on casual without even casting a single spell.
If you're a mage.
My note on the entire thing of why one worked, why one didn't work, is it's more keeping in tradition with the game. From Dragon Age to Dragon Age 2, they are two completely different games. One is a tactical RPG game in the vein of, yeah, pretty much the original RPGs, so in the vein of Chainmail or something like that. Chainmail, D&D Mini, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
While on the other hand, Dragon Age 2 is pretty much just a hack and slash RPG, you know, with some clunkier elements thrown in because they decided to use the same engine to build two completely different games,
mm-hmm.
which they then gave the same title.
And pretended that they had anything to do with each other story-wise as well.
Well, they happened in the same world. I suppose that's enough for most people.
Happened in the same world tentatively, though. Some of the characters that do crossover don't react properly.
Yeah, this is a big problem I have with games when you aren't playing the same main character and then you have to react. So, like, Alistair shows up in Dragon Age 2 and you're like, oh my god, it's Alistair! You can't be like, oh, I know who you are. Because your character isn't supposed to know. Which is an RPG thing, but it's just not as much fun as having Alistair be like, hey buddy, remember when we killed Darkspawn together? So, other RPG elements. We hadn't talked about combat being streamlined. What about story? I felt like Dragon Age 2's story was a lot less complex.
Dragon Age Origins had like six different main enemies and thousands of different extra cards that could trigger, which was really cool.
You're talking about epilogue slides, which
give
you the end to the story.
Whereas Dragon Age 2, no epilogue slides.
It didn't really have an ending. It just kind of...
And the end, pseudo-ending, is two different endings. It's either I'm a Templar, rah, 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 or I'm a mage, rah, rah, rah.
And it just kind of ends with Barret going, and that's the story. Everyone left and went their separate ways, except for whatever your love interest was, and that's it. Where in Dragon Age Origins, you got, depending on your relationship with everyone, they did one thing or another, and it talked about each of the characters, and which was much more involved in the story.
Again, I'm saying that's more endemic, less of streamlining, more of just the very short time that they put into Dragon Age 2. They like pumped it out over the course of a year compared to several years for the original Dragon Age, and you know their story was less important about the story they were telling, more important about, all right, we need to get back in this world.
Well, they did the same thing, like we talked about the story in the epilogue slides. They also took out all the item things. Like, in Dragon Age Origins, you would come upon little items, and then they'd have these really long, drawn-out descriptions that would be like, this item was found by the great king of elves, and he forged it, and then turned it into this. And
they'd be throwaway items sometimes.
Yeah, in Dragon Age 2, you'd find the staff of Parlathan, and it wouldn't... Well, actually, that's not true. If you downloaded it, it would have a bio. If you just found it in the universe, it didn't have a bio. So it seems like... You could say that was development time, but to me, it seems like they were like, oh, well, no, players don't want to read anymore.
We like the codex. I probably spent a good 5 or 6 hours in that codex.
It was excellent use of time and resources there, because it's a universe... The big thing about those two series specifically is it's the universe that they have built for the game that is the thing that people like, not so much the game itself, but the universe is a fascinating universe, and with good characters. I mean, hey, it's BioWare. They're going to make good characters regardless. You know, condemn however much you want. Dragon Age 2, it still had good characters in it.
Oh, yeah.
Despite the fact that its story was inferior.
And the rivalry system fleshed out the characters, too.
Which was nice, but the problem I have with characters is you only talk to them, like, 3 times.
Yeah, in Dragon Age Origins, you could have conversations about people's political opinion, and you knew what kind of cheese Alistair liked.
You knew that Sten loved cookies, kittens, and flowers.
And you don't get that with the Dragon Age 2 characters. You only talk to them about, like, I think it's once, no, it's 3 times a year. And each time you talk to them, it has to do with their personal story arc.
Yeah.
You can bring them on missions and find out little things, but you don't really actually interact with them. So it felt like that was cut out as well.
And the main problem I have is over the course of 10 years, you can make some actual changes on people. But by the end of the 10 years, it really felt like I'd only been with them for a month because they had the exact same personality they had in year one.
Fucking Fenris, man.
He was a generic I hate mage. And there's nothing you could do to change it. Even if you yourself were a mage, he's still the same.
And you rivaled him. At the end, he'd be like, I understand you see things differently, but one day, mages will betray you and you'll see things my way.
Yeah, but I'm a blood mage. How does that work?
Yeah.
The most betrayee of betray mages that ever betrayed anyone.
And I haven't betrayed you yet, Fatness, so...
But in Mass Effect, the characters from Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 2, there weren't that much of changes. You only got to talk to them like 3 times each. Yeah. You only get to talk to them like 3 times.
But again, the characters all remained pretty inconsistent throughout the entire thing. And, you know, they did have arcs in between the two games, which was a good thing. They did develop as characters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you, like me, actually bothered saving Rex, fucking
hell
awesome,
yeah.
Fucking awesome character. You know, you have to keep him alive.
You shot my dinosaur.
My friend Drew. Ashley killed Rex for him, and he killed Ashley just on the principle that bitch shot my dinosaur.
Yeah, I would.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, who cares if you're actually boning me? No, he fucking shot my dinosaur and also my Proud Warrior race guy at the same time. And what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, and you got Rex going back to his people and
becoming like the supreme chieftain who will one day save them all. And
yeah. And Garrus goes from being Dirty Harry to basically Batman. It's the characters develop between the two games, and it's really much more. Actually, yeah. I think that's more interesting as an idea than going from a different group of people every game.
Very much.
The
so.
Only one
I was actually kind of pissed off when they first announced the game, and that you were not keeping keeping most of the people.
Yeah, the only two that actually were in Origins and Awakening will count that. Or
the story
Isabella.
Was good. The
story
was
good. The gameplay was harsh. But Isabella and Anders. And Anders is really a different
Don't
character.
Don't get me started
game.
On Anders.
Like, spoiler alert, he's an evil ass fuck.
If he's not evil, he's just an idiot.
And he's a well-intentioned extremist.
Well, I'm thinking that kind of defines every character within Dragon Age 2.
Not
evil. Well, within Dragon Age, Dragon Age 2, Dragon Age Awakening, every one of them.
Yeah.
They're all just kind of pricks to one another.
I preferred Anders in Dragon Age Awakening because he had that whole, the mages are in trouble, but I'm really only worried about freeing myself. He was a selfish guy, but he was also fun to be around. In this one, he was fun to be around in the first act, and then by the third act, he was just like, mages, templars, and that was all he talked about. even if you romance him, that's all he talks about. You're just like, I will fucking strangle you. I'm tired of hearing about the
Mages. Hopefully not fucking strangle him, because that would just be kind of awkward, you know. Squelch, squelch, squelch. I'm throttling the air, by the way, for those people who cannot see with sound waves.
So, there was also some streamlining in Skyrim, if you notice.
The streamlining to a good effect, though, because the problem with Oblivion is it couldn't control the choices. And the game, within like 10 levels in, it probably became unwinnable by insanity for the first 5 playthroughs.
It really was. I remember the first time I played Oblivion, I got to, I remember it's like the 6th or 7th level, and I realized I've been putting my points in the wrong places for the character I wanted to make.
I really didn't have that problem. You know, admittedly, I'm always playing on psychotic difficulty, so I'm used to the God, I'm dead, reload.
But I'm dead.
Yeah, basically, I'm kind of used to that. But, you know, I played a horribly underpowered character. I still managed to complete the game with relative ease, you know, on the first playthrough. I know, I was thinking, like, this Argonian who was supposed to be stealth, but I just kind of ran at people with a sword.
That sounds like you.
The problem I have, though, with I do have some problems with the streamlining in Skyrim. They removed some of my favorite spells. Armor got kicked. And I
honestly,
was
the
angry.
Biggest thing that I'm bothered about in Skyrim is the fact that, you know, they brought a really nice enchantment system, but they forgot. But they kind of left out the entire spellcrafting, you know, system. So
yeah,
you no longer have that option, which was something I found really unfortunate. I mean, if you're already, you know, enchanting, you're already crafting, you should be able to make your own spells in addition, which I thought was just a big oversight on their part, especially since the theme is basically customizing everything.
Yeah, but it's because they dropped mysticism. And that was the skill of magic, basically.
Yeah, well, I think that's the reason why they dropped it, because any magical school you have, you're going to have stuff that, you know, could easily be, you know, mysticism, whatever. So they just kind of distributed all the spells formerly in mysticism around, which I honestly thought worked quite well.
That, I used to play a hand-to-hand character, and when I heard they dropped that, I was kind of annoyed.
Well, you still could play hand-to-hand character decently if you really buffed the armor on your
gloves. Oh, yeah. You'd have to, and get those pugilist gloves to get the double damage with punches, but it was harder and you didn't level up.
They also simplified the skill system. If you'll notice, they did it in Mass Effect 2 and in Dragon Age 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
In Dragon Age 2, they took out a lot of the spells, which you said you disliked.
A lot of the good spells, too. Like, Mana Clash was one of my favorites, because you could just drop Arcane Horrors in, like, one shot.
Mm-hmm. And they did it in Mass Effect 2, too. They took, they simplified them, and they made it so you could only do one thing at once, and then you had to wait for a cooldown. So, also with us today, we have Stephen Scher.
Stephen.
Close
Scher. Enough, though. All right.
Okay, back to what we were doing. So, the skill systems in Dragon Age 2 and Mass Effect 2 were really oversimplified, I think. Because when playing a rogue in Dragon Age 2, all of a sudden you went from being able to, in Dragon Age Origins, switch back and forth between bow and daggers, which they took out.
Which was insanely useful for the tactical combat.
Mm-hmm.
And being rogue, you having to use tactical, need a tactical combat,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
obviously necessary.
So you went from being able to do that to having to have specific skills, and then you just couldn't do it at all. You had to decide which one you thought was more important. And then they give you this tiny, if you ever play as an archer, they give you a tiny little knife you can hit things with that does basically no damage.
That sounds that ridiculous. I haven't actually played it that far.
Early on, it's actually really effective.
Yeah, I only played
scale.
Yeah.
For, for Dragon Age 2. Fortunately, I never actually purchased Dragon Age 2, so I wasn't, you know, exposed to the full horror of disappointment as, you know, you two here were. You know, I did play through, like, the first hour of the game, and that was just horrifyingly, you know, terrible to me. I'm just bashing my head against the keyboard. Why? Why did you break this?
Yeah.
Why? This is not a Dragon Age game anymore. This is a game using the same engine.
So for the readers at home, when he mentioned we went through pain, I bought two copies. Two special edition copies.
You got two copies?
Two special edition copies.
Oh,
because
God.
I love Dragon Age Origins to death. So I bought a special edition copy for me, and I bought one for my brother for his birthday.
Worst birthday present ever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking here really quick. Another thing I don't like about the whole Dragon Age thing is I was told, I don't know if this, but I was told that the storyline is remarkably shorter.
It's like Dragon Age Origins was like a, was a 50-hour game.
If you did none of the side quests.
If you didn't do anything and you didn't die repeatedly, which you were bound to die an unbelievable number of times, considering the difficulty.
Nightmare,
you were just like,
Even on normal, you're still getting raped by, you know, the larger
boss. Let's take
one of the good things they did about Dragon Age 2, one of the handful of good things, the one shining beacon of darkness,
diamond in the rough.
The addition that you could switch team damaging spells on and off.
You can't. No, you can't. It's either
in Dragon casual Age up to hard.
In Dragon Age Origins. In Dragon Age Origins, from casual to nightmare, it went between like amounts, percents of.
Well, actually, radios do pre-record most of their stuff, so.
Okay. All right, we just had a fuck it, we're going to do it live moment here. Morgan just walked in after Stefan walked in, so.
This is why you don't podcast in public places, because people want to come and get their name on the internet.
Yeah, Morgan's just a fame whore. Hello, internets. I'd like to introduce you to Miss Morgan Mock.
Hi.
Oh, well, I got her name, so I had to start.
Yeah, I remember how to pronounce her name. What was I talking? Oh, yeah.
You were talking.
So, can't be fancy like you, Stefan.
So in Dragon Age Origins, it had like percentage. Like normal was like 10% friendly fire, and then hard was 100% friendly fire. And in Dragon Age 2, it went from no friendly fire to 100% friendly fire on nightmare.
Well, it's kind of fair because anyone that jumps up to nightmare. Wants the pain.
Yeah. Wants to self-flagellate themselves,
of
you know?
Course.
Yeah, because we live in the 13th century. We want that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Walk down the middle of the street, Iesu Domine. Dolores Requie. There we go. I am dedicated to my craft.
That was him hitting his head up against the table.
I am dedicated to my craft. You call it method acting.
Amen to that, sir.
Okay, so.
Good here.
In Mass Effect 2, they didn't have with the streamlining of the skills. It wasn't as hardcore, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't as hardcore, but it made it impossible to make it unwinnable by insanity, which drew in some of the shooter crowd. Which it wasn't a bad decision, really.
They made the shooter elements, and this is my thing. You out there who listen to me on the shooter podcast know that I have a thing for shooters being brought into my fucking RPGs.
You're
RPGs are for RPG people.
I'm thinking it's kind of like if you were to combine country and metal, it just would not work.
Actually,
beautiful by themselves, but if you mix them together.
Well, no, that's folk and metal. No, that, sorry, I was going to comment on
you
that.
Think, no, you're wrong, Stefan, but wait, no, I'm thinking folk metal.
Well, not necessarily folk metal, but more, you know, power metal, which is kind of folkish in nature, but still. Anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, I think the hardcore aspect of gaming versus the non-hardcore aspect of gaming is definitely a discussion for another time.
Probably.
And under that, another podcast.
Another podcast, keeping us in business.
I like your thoughts.
I think that's one thing why they do the whole streamlining of RPGs right there, is because they want to keep in business. And lately, if you haven't noticed, a lot of the new gamers, the people who just started into it all, want simpler and simpler and simpler games. They see the old games and think, this is really complex.
They want things that are intuitive, because the thing about RPGs is almost all RPGs date back to the original chainmail D&D game, which was, you know, kind of a... Yes, all hail Gary Gygax. God rest his beard. anyway, so,
but
it all traces back to that point where the mechanics were ridiculously complex. So when they ported them all over, you know, originally to PC and then later to consoles, you know, the various games, which were all based on tabletop games at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, even Fallout was originally slated to be a GURPS game for the PC.
Yeah.
That when they lost license, they just changed it over. You know, they changed the name of a couple of stats.
This is our great episode.
What?
This is the episode where we get all our geek cred.
Exactly. We're not just a bunch of assholes talking on the internet.
That's
we're geeky
me.
Assholes talking
but
on the internet.
You said that they sell better. They don't. Dragon Age 2 sold much less than Dragon Age Origins because people
who
like Dragon Age Origins.
You know, they've got the you know, they've got okay. the backing of the geeks because they're selling to geeks and everything else.
Let me try to attempt to salvage what I said, because obviously what I said was, look up that extra. It's really very much, by the way. I'm pretty sure it's like a combination. I think it's a whole seeking the marketing issue. Like, you see the guys out there trying to, they want to do like, okay, we need a good game, but we need to do it simpler.
So it'll sell to everyone.
Did you see it? Oh crap, it
sold horribly. Why do we do this?
Yeah. But the thing is it is kind of a continual.
But the streamlining
of RPGs is a continuing of a trend that has begun since the very beginning. Because originally, you couldn't carry over everything from your wonderful tabletop RPGs into computer RPGs. Originally, you couldn't do that. So you modified them to be simpler. And then you had these ridiculously complex systems. They didn't sell very well because they're kind of unintuitive to play. You know, people who played them enjoyed them. But, you know, they were unintuitive to play. So they kept on becoming simpler and simpler. You know, you can easily see this transition between from the Elder Scrolls series, for example, is a very clear indication that, you know, Arena is, you know, very, very stringent, very, very thing. You have to literally map out the game yourself. There is a jumping complexity as, you know, the computers became more powerful and you were able to integrate more and more things from your tabletop RPG in. You know, Daggerfall had like an entire banking system. And, you know, you could like throw ropes up, climb up and down. It was ridiculously complex.
Really?
No one can really control the game. You know, no one can really control the entire game just because it has a really immense area of land.
I should go play Daggerfall.
And then when they went to Morrowind, you know, they simplified everything. They basically cut down.
So what you're saying
everything.
Is we're coming in later and we're seeing the games get to the farther point of simple. And
yes.
We're like, hey, stop, stop.
We're getting to the extreme point of simple instead of seeing it from, dear God, those were complex games. If you look at various...
We saw the sweet spot.
We did see
in
the sweet
spot. In my personal opinion, it was the sweet spot where they weren't too complex because I'm not that intelligent. I get these games like Daggerwind and Morrowind.
Daggerwind and Morrowfall!
Right.
What about Sky Oblivion?
And I had problems playing those.
I
had problems playing those, but then Oblivion and Skyrim, those were easier for me to play. Mass Effect 1 was easy for me to play. But then you get to these button equals awesome, and anyone who followed the Dragon Age 2 marketing campaign knows what I mean. This idea that, you know, you hit a button and something awesome happens, and that's all that matters. That's all you want in your game, isn't it?
No. You have 99 Knights for that kind of thing. You have Dynasty Warriors for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
They have all these other genres. They have all these other genres.
You're
to
kind
do
of
that.
Flying
you
and killing millions and millions of dudes.
You have Starbucks.
By the
to do
level
that
of Devil May Cry, who loved it?
By the level of what?
Devil May Cry. Was
that one with
God, I love Devil May Cry.
Where you just fly around and cut him up. What more do you want?
That was pretty good.
You know they're re-releasing an HD collection of Devil May Cry for the Xbox.
I know.
I don't have the money. I need money. People on the internet, send me money.
Me too. I is poor. I has money now.
I think maybe we'll have to take the note of a lot of, you know, various podcasters and just put a little donation bar up by the side.
Okay. I like this idea.
Okay. Commercialing aside.
But actually, speaking of commercial input.
Hey, think about this. It only took us 3 episodes to sell out. Look at that.
I think I still got a new record.
Okay, order.
But speaking of commercial input, this is something I've also noticed in these games. They don't market these games to RPG players. They market the original Dragon Age Origins trailer was "This Is the New Shit" by Marilyn Manson was the song they played in the background.
Pretty awesome.
Well, a badass dude walked around and his eyes glowed and he killed a dragon.
Because the entire thing about it is, you know, they're not marketing to us because they know we, as geeks, are going to buy it because it is the new RPG thing.
That's true.
To hear about it, say, oh, it's made by BioWare, look it up. Oh, that sounds fascinating. A new world by BioWare, populated by BioWare
elves.
Quality characters. Yes, elves. Fucking elves. I'm not a fan of elves. Again, as at the beginning I said,
elves are awesome.
I am a fan of manic, depressive, alcoholic midgets. Yes.
So dwarfs.
Give me the master race from the north, please. Thank you.
The north?
Yes! Nords! Cold resistant.
Anything that comes from the iceberg lands and kills polar cats for a living... I will like those guys.
We are fans of fanatic racism.
Amen to that.
Fantastic racism!
So do you think streamlining is all in all for better or worse?
If it's kept under control, I think it can be a good. It can be a force for good.
As a quote, but were you here for my nerdiness? Your quest stands upon the edge of a knife. Stray but a little, and it will fail. Yet hope still remains. That is what I think is up with the streamlining. Okay, it's acceptable to do to a degree, but if you do it too much, you're gonna have are sandbox games. That's all you're gonna have, just ridiculous sandbox games.
Well, again, that's not a very
press
bad thing.
This,
and
cool things.
You can have.
Yeah, press this there.
Again, sandbox game does not necessarily.
Well, nothing bad with sandbox.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying sandbox is not necessarily equivalent to too simple. Again, for as complexity as a good or bad thing, simplifying, streamlining as a good or bad thing, I'm a terrible person to ask because I am a fan of roguelikes. Yes, I've yet again proven myself the biggest nerd in the room.
If you have, well done.
Applause! Applause! But particularly Dwarf Fortress, which is a game of fucking astounding complexity. Literally, literally the specific gravity of each individual materials are taken into account. It's fucking ridiculous. But the point is the game
it's
pretty much
fucking ridiculous.
It's ducking ridiculous, yes. Fucking ridiculous, mucking ridiculous, fucking ridiculous, whatever you want to say.
Wait, mud crabbing.
Ridiculous. Mud crabbing.
Mud crabbing ridiculous.
Good reference.
Thank you.
But anyway.
Horrible creatures.
The point being is that the game pretty much does allow you to do anything you would want.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's kind of ridiculously complex because of that. You know, you have an immense amount to learn how to do. You have to literally learn, like, chemical reactions in order to get your dwarves to properly smith, you know, various materials.
Oh, wow.
The game actually taught me geology.
I think I understand why people have streamlining now is because of that. Because
exactly,
like, you are a person who's like, you know, life loves that. What about the other
5.9999
some billion people out there? Okay, who are like, don't like that. We're all like terrified of that shit.
Better because it doesn't have a text-based interface. It's an ANSI interface. So it's just a bunch of characters on the screen. Also, you know, until very recently, it had no mouse control. So you had to control everything with individual strokes of the keyboard.
But now, I'm assuming we have a keyboard.
You liked text adventure games, didn't you?
I actually did.
Zork.
Zork was one of my all-time favorite games.
I actually watched someone play Zork, and I could not help but laugh when they died twice.
They chose
off the troll cliff.
Killed
me.
Told me they were eaten by a group.
No, unfortunately, they chose to jump off cliff. That's what they chose to do.
Is that gonna give you like a pop up? Like, are you sure?
You can commit suicide.
It's like, it looks like it's a great view, not like, a good jumping
for
sword.
A second.
You die. Oh yeah, they had to stab self by a sword. That was
okay. So when should a game streamline?
His dwarf thing.
Yeah, for honestly most things. For the point in which the game begins to become unplayable.
How about this?
So only at that point? I mean, when you go back to Mass Effect.
You know, it's meant to keep away from that point.
Mass Effect.
You keep away from it being unplayable.
Mass Effect is an amazing game.
The thing you should simplify above all other things is not simplifying content, but you should simplify controls of games.
It's like trimming the hedges.
See, I disagree.
I like this idea.
They simplified the controls in Dragon Age 2. And when they said simplify controls, they said button equals awesome, and it actually went down to them simplifying the controls to the point of no tactical ability. You couldn't even pull the camera off your dude to go shoot things into the distance. You remember how you could do that in Origins?
Yeah.
Just be like,
I can't remember the actual name. I think it was tactical camera or something like that. So they were like, oh, well, we'll make it simpler.
But here's the thing. That's the thing. When they attempted this, it seems like when they attempted to simplify their controls, they also simplified the content as well as
exactly.
You know, it'd probably be good if you could simplify the controls so people regular people can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But then don't simplify the content. Although I suppose sometimes they have the content that's based on the control. Sometimes,
which is a bit of a problem. But again, you can't control that. I believe Skyrim did that very well. Had the entire quick slot menu system, which
I still don't know what button is to favorite though. Like the click on your favorite things on the control, but like the console. I don't know what it is. I'm failure like that.
It's directional.
Oh, I can tell you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Never mind, I was about to ask you something, but you're good.
Okay, so...
Well, again, do you have anything to say about the whole streamlining thing?
I was just going to say that when they simplify it, it just makes it a lot less creative. You don't get to do as much.
Yeah, you never want to take away imagination.
I'm sorry.
Again, I want to simplify controls.
So
not
did I. I was trying to figure out how to do it without being like, Morgan,
talk. Make the game easier to play. Don't make the game easier to play.
We have a noob. We have a token noob.
Yay, noob!
Hooray! 5 seconds of noob fame.
I mostly just came to observe because this gets very
and
funny.
And born new in the world.
Okay, so you said they could simplify controls, but Skyrim simplified the mechanics.
I'm about to voice my one and only problem with Skyrim.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun.
All right, I liked having a sword, a shield, and a spell.
Oh, that, oh, yeah, I kind of missed that too. I got to admit.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward.
I just want
to
know.
You have to favorite your spell and favorite your shield.
Well, honestly, I kind of liked that. It made a lot more sense to me.
I missed the ability.
But the one thing I did not like about Skyrim is you removed all of the stats. You removed all of the stats, which is a bit of a problem in Odyssey, because you can't buff specific stats. You know, mechanically, it feels kind of weak because it takes away a lot of choice from you. You know, you can't, you know, give yourself a ring that gives you plus 5 billion to strength. No, you can't do that anymore. You have to, like...
And trying to give you more freedom, they restricted it.
Basically, yes.
In some ways, yeah.
So, with the bringing down of the skills, though, do you think that's allowable to make skills less complex?
The problem I had, I have to say that Oblivion had the worst level system, like...
It did, but Mass Effect 1's level system wasn't bad, and neither was Dragon Age Origins. Well,
no.
Depending on the type of person you are, yeah. I liked micromanage.
But the problem with with Oblivion's was that if you didn't neurotically practice every skill perfectly...
Yeah. Honestly...
Grinding. You should always take grinding out of your games. If you're going to make me grind, don't make me feel like I'm grinding.
Yeah. Exactly. But here's it should make you, you know, I believe the Elder Scrolls games did that correctly. You gain an unbelievable amount of experience, gold, whatever, all the stuff you need to complete the main quests by, you know, just randomly adventuring. You know, if you're doing it, you should feel like you're having a lot of fun. You know, and that is grinding in the strictest sense.
Honestly,
you know,
yeah.
You're literally doing, you know, pointless action for more numbers.
Compared to
for bigger numbers.
I kind of figured something was mildly ridiculous. I apologize and retarded earlier. People ask, I mean ridiculous.
Yeah.
Challenged, depending on who you are. Anyway, one thing I found very ridiculous about Oblivion was the luck, was the luck little thing there.
Yeah,
that had no purpose. That had no purpose whatsoever.
Well, that's pretty much you max
out. I could just leave luck as it was.
Pretty much the point of luck was, you know, you max out all the skills.
And
you max out the attributes that are important for your character build, and then... Wow, I have 10 more levels here. Guess what? Locka, 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 locka,
locka, locka. You don't by then. By then you have all the ultimate power
Jesus.
And armor.
You walk around.
You're Jesus, Chuck Norris, and something else all put together.
All wrapped up in spiky, demonic red armor.
Exactly.
The only game I liked luck in was Fallout New Vegas, where you could actually go gamble in the casino.
Yeah.
If you had 10 luck, you walked out of there with a ton of money.
All the Fallout games were the only games I've ever seen that used luck well. Because in the original Fallout game, luck was directly tied into your critical chance.
I could accept luck if it were to be purposeful like that. Like if they had like a weird casino thing or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they didn't have that in Oblivion. And so it's just like, what is
the purpose of this
unicorn stat?
The biggest bother I had with the stats is if you weren't neurotic about counting how much experience you were getting from each skill you leveled up, you'd end up with, like, getting +2s in each stat. Whereas if you were completely neurotic about it, you could make your level 10 effectively as powerful as, like, a level
8. Well, again, a problem, you know, that's kind of been a problem with the entire thing. You know, even if you look at Morrowind, you know, because you often gain, like, well, at least me and the way I play, just, again, randomly going through dungeons. If you play it, you'll get, like, you know, 15 levels just built up there that you've not actually leveled up your character for. And when you roll over your level, you know, you stop getting, you know, skill points. So your character, from leveling up a lot but not actually sleeping, can actually have incredibly low stats based on that.
So, really quick, did anyone here ever try to like grab power up their jumping? The little bunny hopping.
Yeah. Well, I did that, but that's mainly because
I just ran through entire towns just hopping and hopping and hopping.
I always enjoyed it. I always enjoyed hopping like a moron.
And no one reacted to it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed rolling to the side, rolling forward, running up behind people, and then going in for the stab in the back.
Whee!
Because high acrobatics, you were just like dodge everything.
Dodge all the things.
Exactly.
Everything. Wasn't ever. It? Close your eyes, body slam the ground, and dodge it.
So we said when you should streamline, when shouldn't you streamline? When should you absolutely never streamline?
I'm going to pick on Dragon Age 2 and Dragon Age 1.
We've been doing that a lot.
Yeah. Let's do Mass Effect 2. Let's pick on that one.
When you shouldn't streamline, you don't need to streamline Mass Effect 2 or Dragon Age Origins any more than they already are, because they have this good-sized fan base that likes it the way it is.
But that leads to stagnation. Think of Call of Duty. If you never change
anything. Oh my god.
Call of Duty 64.
God almighty. Call of Duty 9.
That does end badly, but again, you're playing RPGs for the most part for the story, not for the mechanics.
Yeah.
But again, my opinion in where you should never, ever, 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 ever simplify is when you start taking freedom away from what the player can do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you make a more gamist system going on there, very stats. So if you like, I suppose that can be a freedom of sorts, freedom of numbers. But if you're taking away options from the players, you had a game, you made some magical RPG with like 20 different classes, and then next game you made only has 5 different classes. That's a bad idea to, streamline, because you're reducing the options that the player has available to them.
Mm-hmm.
For no readily apparent reason.
You should never take away choice. Even in shooters, I don't like it when they take away choice from me.
One of the things that I like about RPGs is, I'm the point of Skyrim, because I love that game, is that you can just, get the main quest set up and then just walk away and go kill, bunnies. There's a stat that tracks your bunnies killed.
That's another problem I have with Dragon Age 2, was the side quests, the fetch quests, the FedEx quests.
FedEx quests.
I want to call it UPS. Can I call it UPS quests?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But they were...
National Post Service.
You'd pick something up randomly on a quest. It would
that's if you completely ignore them and, go on to other quests.
You know who needs to have this item. So it'd be like Bertrand the Thief's left finger bone, and you'd know who needs it. Magic. And you take it to them and get a gold piece. And that was a quest. They considered that a subquest.
That is so weird.
That's not a quest.
No.
That's an errand.
Yeah.
I think that's partially a bit of a World of Warcraft seeping into other RPGs and just, grind. It's what people come to expect of their RPGs, because there's so many people who play that,
mm-hmm.
and so many people, that's their only RPG experience they've ever had.
I like
so that when something is not like that, they don't think it's an RPG. So people incorporate elements from that into their games in order to appeal to those people.
I like Skyrim for that, because in the quest areas, they would have the quests and miscellaneous, i.e. the various errands and UPS quests. Various things like that.
But again, most of those were pretty unique
quests, though.
Yeah.
The rated AI quests that trigger in Skyrim are ones that are to places you've never been, and they incorporate into your story, and they make sense.
That's what you should do, gaming people who are going to be listening in on this and be wondering about what you did wrong.
Developers.
That's what you should do. Developers, thank you.
Developers, first shoot yourself in the foot for ever, ever, ever thinking that Dragon Age 2 was a good game.
That's only
in
the people at BioWare.
A good game. She just off twice for damnation.
At third time for
they already lost
10.
Their job. The
I don't care.
So now they can't afford it. Now
they will
afford it.
Buy a gun and bullets.
No. Just slam a chair down. Equal effect. Equal force, less death. Possible.
Yeah.
Just find a high place and jump off of it. You only 2 stories or so. Make sure your legs are pointed down.
Straight down, lock your knees. Snap your legs.
Another thing I kind of like the
have your tibias pop out of the top of your knees.
Yeah.
Another thing I kind of thought would be
I'm gonna need to put a violence tag on this one.
Violence and blood and gore.
It exploded in gore!
Sign up explosion.
You don't want to see the little horns popping off of Mason's head.
Yeah. He's starting to glow evil. He's got flies around his head. Well, with again, the fable villain.
Again, the game Dwarf Fortress can be considered one of the greatest...
That's another overly simplified game. Okay,
but again, the game can be considered one of the greatest torture simulators on Earth. Just because it does simulate every part of the body. Literally, if you're grappling someone, you can begin pulling out teeth from their face
so
in the middle
fortress.
Of combat.
I'm assuming you want to go buy if you are overly complicated like our good friend.
Well, actually, it's freeware.
Great fun.
Actually,
okay.
It's
and don't go buy, just go get.
Yeah. Buy Tarn Atoms, also known as Toady One. You can find it on the Bay 12 Games site.
I was going to say, another really overly simplified game I've noticed kind of seems to be Fable. Because
yeah,
I played
Fable.
I played Fable. I loved Fable. I played Fable too. I was wondering, why does this feel like there's crutches? Why does it feel like it's just like some little crippled orphan boy?
Because you can't die.
God bless us, everyone.
Well, and you would be a little crippled orphan boy. You were thrown out of a building.
Three.
You're a little crippled orphan boy.
Fable 3, so I can't say anything
oh,
about
God.
It.
I've only played, again, another game. I've only played the first hour.
Is that like basically Fable 2, just with more crutches, like a polio
it's
person?
It's Fable 2, but with
no,
like
it's a
training.
Wheelchair.
Leg braces.
Like training wheels, I swear to God.
So it's a wheelchair with training wheels.
First of all, they take away,
yes.
You take, if you use your sword, you get sword orbs or whatever that was in Fable 2.
Wait, so they actually give you like weapon, like.
You just
yeah,
get
okay.
general orbs.
That's
and
it.
You can spend them, and
that's
you can,
it.
Yeah. And you wow. can only buy weapon upgrades when the story unlocks the next set of weapon upgrades.
So it's an anti-grinding system, which pisses me off.
Everyone, unified palm to face. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
We just did a tactical face palm.
Wonderful. Everyone love this thing. Like, dude, if it has a like option, click on the like thing.
Yeah.
I think everybody
or just download it and listen
that.
To it 5 or 6 times.
If you were listening to it, go
everyone
back.
Make, like, a musical thing with
stuff.
The face palm, like... You see that? You hear that YouTube?
Or, you know, get any one of the loops of anything I've said thus far, so...
Yeah.
Anti-grinding mechanisms actually really piss me off. Because if I'm gonna grind, I'm gonna grind, okay?
If I want my
Level
character
pass.
To be...
Don't hold
if I want my character to be broken out the ass, yes, my character is going to be broken out the ass.
Say, it was right before... I was gonna say something right before
Final
your
Fantasy
one comment.
13 is the greatest offender.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for saying that. Here, hug me.
There's a hug going on.
There's bromance at this table.
But
it's guy love between two guys.
That was the most atonal version of that song I've ever heard.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sick and my lungs are kind of mucus, so I can't. Don't have any control of my tone now.
It's mechanic for a long time.
Yeah.
It even had the Memorpaga issue thing, and I thought that was pretty cool. It did the RTS, which was pretty cool. And then Final Fantasy 13 came out, and I wanted to murder a kitten orphan puppy.
Aww.
All in the same potato sack.
Here. Look, I'm
what?
Saying...
Don't hit the table.
I'm sorry.
I just say, if you're going to murder someone, you mortar... You mortar, murder, not mortar.
Moyer.
Yes, I'm from Boise. I'm from New York. Anyway. what you murder is you murder blind orphans with no thumbs.
That works too.
I wouldn't have played the game.
Don't murder anyone.
Blind orphans with no thumbs.
The worst problem in it, the characters all let them slide. They weren't terrible. But the biggest problem is the anti-grinding system that only finally allows you to seriously grind once you'd really never want to do it.
Okay, here's my problem with it. It was okay, so basically, here's what you want to do, all developers, to keep away from any sort of problem with your game selling. Don't be Final Fantasy 13. You do this, I swear to... No, I can't swear to anyone because I don't know where they all live. So never mind. Don't. We love you. Okay.
I know BioWare, the developers for BioWare in Edmonton, and I have threatened many a time to go there with torches and pitchforks.
Nice. Wait, you're just holding torches and pitchforks?
And trying to take a plane to Edmonton.
Well, no. Better yet, we just open a torch and pitchfork shop right next to their building. And then, you know, you advertise yourself on the internet.
Sorry. Okay.
Didn't like Dragon Age 2?
It's...
Try the torch and pitchfork shop.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Final
Fantasy 13, the problems with it, I definitely saw, obviously, straight up top. It was linear. Final Fantasy has never been linear. Ever, 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 ever.
Except for Dungeons and Storylines. Well, no, it's always still been linear. The story has always been linear.
Well, the story
where you can go has been, you know, slightly variable, but it's still pretty much linear.
In the third disc, though, it does start to get unlinear.
Oh, the third disc!
I made it all the way to the third disc. I'm so happy with myself.
And then the combat system. What the... Okay. Wait, someone sent to me. Someone sent to me. Please, 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 please. So, wait.
Beep.
And the comment is...
This podcast is rated explicit.
Oh.
You can swear.
Oh. Fuck, fuck, piss, piss, fuck, fuck, vagina. Okay, so anyway.
Vagina is not a swear word. Yeah.
Okay. Fuck, piss, shit, anal, cunt, what?
Okay, thank you. Anyway.
And I'm gonna leave the combat system.
What the fuck was it? Combat system? What was it? I can't even.
What combat?
This is how you know what I mean. What is the combat system? What the fuck was it?
I didn't get it.
I watched it. What is that? What the fuck was that? I don't understand.
It just auto does the combat. Honestly, I could have a monkey do it.
That was a trip. That was like a polio leg stick thing with the wheelchair with the train
button to win. That's really all you gotta do. Just spam the A button.
FDR the RPG.
Okay.
A lot of the fights in Kingdom Hearts 2, just the trigger, the action, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Triangle, 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 jump
to the
whole battle.
That's the game where you play it while watching.
I love it.
That's the sort of game you play it while you watch something else. Final Fantasy.
Truly glowing endorsement. The kind of game you play while watching something else.
You know what? Take that quote, developers, and put it right on the box. So, is action... Do you think these people think that action is more important than story?
Sometimes I think they do. Sometimes, like Dragon Age 2, Dragon Age Origins, this shining gem in a pile of shit. And I'm just like, yes!
The story was a lot better than... The gameplay in Dragon Age Origins did have some flaws. I will be the first
to admit. It was funky as hell.
But it
felt like an MMORPG despite being a tactical game, which is a bit of a problem.
Didn't it feel like a MMORPG?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it definitely felt like a MMORPG. Like Sacred 2. But I think that was supposed to be a MMORPG.
But the story was so amazing and so customizable. And
so in-depth.
When you played different classes, you felt like you were playing different classes.
You could be a guy.
Races, you felt like you were playing
different races. You could be a Scrooge of story. Like, I hate storylines. I wish they'd all fucking die. And then you play...
And you play
Dragon Age. And you're like, oh, my God. What will happen next?
I hope.
Yeah.
Alistair!
No! No, the end when. Okay. I'm a fangirl. The end if you romance Alistair.
What happens when you romance Alistair?
Alistair and you get to the end, and there's a part where either one of you has to go die to kill the dragon so you don't do the ritual with Morgan. He grabs you up in his arms, he kisses you, and he says, I could never let you die, and runs off to kill the dragon. And you're like, oh my God!
Although, alternately, you can climb you upside the head, you and yourself.
So you don't kill the dragon. I actually never got... I'm going to admit it right here and now. I have never fully finished Dragon Age Origins. Please don't kill me.
Shut the non-believer!
Okay. I watched someone end it, though, as the dwarf guy.
Okay, at the end, there's the...
I saw that fight with the dragon, by the way.
And you know you can only kill it. Only a Grey Ward can kill it.
Yeah, I know.
And when they kill it, they die.
They die?
Yeah, unless they do a ritual with Morgan that makes an old god, basically.
Oh, because my friend did not seem to die at all, so I'm assuming he did the ritual.
Yeah, she probably did the ritual. So if you don't do the ritual, then one of you has to die.
Oh.
And it's only Alistair and the Low King.
And if you and Alistair are the only two Grey Wardens left, then one of you has to die. So if you romanced him, you sob through the whole last mission.
And you can clock
about
that.
You sob like a 12-year-old girl after she got picked on the playground.
Damn.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, okay.
At least I did. Okay.
That's
interesting.
That's why I did the ritual.
I loved what they did with the dwarf golem, though.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
The golems were awesome.
They were awesome.
The DLC
for that game was mostly subpar, except for Shale, which added a whole new character, tons of dialogue. That was amazing. And then you had the DLC for Dragon Age 2, which has been better than the game.
Not really saying that much.
They made me think of the 40. They made me think of that. They made me think of the 40K Dreadnoughts, definitely.
Yeah.
Just these
massive.
Those were awesome. Giant, you know, basically giant walking coffin of death.
That was basically a dwarven golem.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so I have two more things to do. First of all, is final thoughts on streamlining. Does anyone have any final things they want to add?
Your quest stands on the edge of a knife. That is all I can say of streamlining.
All I have to say, developers, if you're going to streamline, don't take freedom away from the players. If you're going to streamline, streamline the controls, not the gameplay.
Edge of a knife.
Okay, the other thing that they streamlined in the BioWare RPGs was they took away the armor from the companions. That made me want to stab things.
That did too.
You didn't notice yet?
No, I didn't.
Wait, what?
The companions' armor in Dragon Age 2, they only have the sets that they have when you...
Wow.
And they have one other set that doesn't change the stats.
That's a little gay.
Yeah, wow.
Well,
I apologize, man and lady lovers alike.
Gay! Thag lizard! Lizard thag!
A troll! Oh, no, Mason's become a troll! Everybody ignored it!
Now we need fire to vanquish this troll.
Okay, but and they did it in Mass Effect 2, too. They gave the character set outfits. You couldn't give them armor anymore.
Oh.
And it's like, that's a major tactical thing.
I played all throughout that with the DLC armor that you get when you
I did that, too.
I loved it. And the black hole gun was my favorite gun of all time. Not gonna lie.
Okay, so...
Moving on.
So, final thoughts, anything else? Okay, so I have a little thing I wanted...
One last thing to say. One thing about Skyrim.
That guy's beating up on a kid!
No, it's okay, he's the Thane of Whiterun.
Wait, you actually beat up on the child?
Hey, guess what? You gotta like nepotism, man. You gotta like the good old boy system.
Yeah. You know the girl who goes, "No, I don't play. I'm not afraid of you. No, you are my elder." She's the one I wanted to take the Axe of Whiterun to.
Liar!
She gets a stick on the other kid in Whiterun.
Whichever. That girl child I wanted to make die. Beyond all.
Okay.
Invincible children.
I just turned your parents.
Wait, children can't die?
Yeah,
I've never done anything
about it. Well, unless you have a PC version, then you get the killable children mod.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, developers of the world, hear me. Sweet love of God, make your children killable. Make your children killable.
You have more business. Child murder here at Killing Kittens.
Exactly.
According to Dead Kennedys, I kill children. I like to see them die. I kill children. Make the mothers cry. Curse them in my car. I hear them scream.
Okay. It's
Halloween. We kill children.
I like it.
Wait.
Okay. So one final thing that makes me rage and is probably going to make me not buy Dragon Age 3.
Troll alert.
They announced that there will be multiplayer in Dragon Age 3.
What?
What?
Okay,
what?
That's it, bitches.
Whoa.
Wait,
seriously?
Whoa.
The developers on the site were...
How is
the
that going to work? Save me for, two barely
Excuse
work.
Me for a second.
Everyone, head to the table. 3, 2, 1.
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Every girl in the room had better sense than to kill brain
cells. Hey, that's the only way
in your brain.
That's the only way I'll buy Dragon Age 3, though. Now, with that information. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, they had it in Mass Effect 3. They were like, "Oh, we'll add multiplayer to this." And I was like, "Okay, I need to finish the Commander Shepard story. I care about the Commander Shepard story. I'm going to buy Mass Effect 3. And they were like, "Oh, don't worry. The multiplayer won't affect the main game." It kind of does.
Yeah, so
you can get the best.
Points.
You can get the best ending without it, but it still affects the game. Hmm. So it seems like BioWare. It seems like Mass Effect 2 is BioWare's swan song. So
moment of silence. I don't know what swan song.
The best
death song.
What Final Fantasy 1 was supposed to be?
Your Dirge of Doom.
Yeah,
or Final Fantasy 13, maybe.
I hope so.
So
I think
that
someone's going to unibomb that place, probably.
Moment of silence for BioWare.
Alright. Yes, all right,
done. So,
every time!
Okay. Alright, so thank you all for coming today.
Not a problem, Sammy. Thank you for having me.
And that was our streamlining podcast.
Alright, awesome.
Excellent.